Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's hump day. We made it again. I want to welcome everybody back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. You know, it's anti-bullying month, so we've done a lot of talk about bullying. And every day when I do research and watch different channels of news and everything to see what's going on around the world, I see lots of sad things. I see lots of kids being hurt. I see lots of scenarios where schools and parents are fighting and arguing about what's right and what's wrong. And, of course, as we are very prone to do, we're always trying to put the problem on someone else's shoulders. And this is a mistake, and I think I've said that loud and clear on several different occasions. So have some of my cohorts that are out there that are talking about bullying and the behavior that we seem to appreciate for some reason when we don't like something. If something isn't something we believe in or something that we think is right, we bully to make a point. But one of the strangest things I've ever come across, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe other people are going to have different feelings about this, but I found an article from, where are they from? I don't know. Fort Worth, Western Hills. A coach has a football team that's doing a hell of a job, and they just won their latest game, 91-0. Now, are you ready for this? Because I read it twice, thinking to myself, What's their problem? They are accusing this teacher or this coach of being a bully because he didn't tell the kids to quit playing so hard. Because after it was a landslide game, they kept pushing and playing their very best. And I'm like, what are they thinking? I'm going to read this to you. There's two articles that I found. And this poor coach feels like he has to address it. But there's like 5-6 pages of comments that other people have signed on for. And I did find a few that agree that he should have calmed down. But to my way of thinking, that's not what they teach the kids. That's not what we teach the kids. If you're going to play good sportsmanship, for sure. But it doesn't mean you quit playing the game. If there's time left in the game, unless you're all going to walk off the field, what do you want them to do? Not catch the ball? Not run with the ball? I don't understand what they wanted from this man. Alito High School coach Tim Buchanan has been accused of bullying after his team won 91-0 over visiting Fort Worth Western Hills. For Buchanan, the win wasn't so much of a good thing. He gathered his assistants to go over the game. "We were just sitting there," Buchanan said. "You'd have thought we got beat. I looked around and asked, is there anyone here that feels good?" At least one parent at Western Hills felt the same way, accusing the coaching staff of bullying. Now, maybe these people need a walk down dictionary path or something. I don't think that they understand what bullying means, if they could even go there. Buchanan, in his 21st season as head coach, is required by state law to fill out a written report because this complaint was registered against him. The bullying complaint compliments our players, saying they showed extremely good sportsmanship, Buchanan said Tuesday morning. This is not directed at our team, but the coaching staff for not instructing our players to ease up and quit playing hard once the game was in hand. Buchanan said that he has the school's support but is taking the allegation seriously. I have to address it, Buchanan said. It's not something you can laugh off or anything like that. Western Hills coach John Naylor, meanwhile, disagrees with the bullying complaint. I think the game was handled fine, Naylor said. They're number one for a reason, and I know Coach Buchanan. We're fighting a real uphill battle right now. The undefeated Aledo Bearcats have outscored opponents 485-7 after seven games. For Buchanan, the choice of what to do in such a situation is not easy. In the first half, I'm excited about us scoring. Then I'm sitting here going, what the heck am I going to do, he said. He pulled his starters off of offense after 21 snaps, and the team's quarterbacks combined in total for 10 pass attempts. But he also said that it's important to continue playing hard no matter what the score is. To go out and tell your kids, no, I don't want you to play hard because we're ahead, that's against every fundamental coaching strategy that you have. In actuality, we probably could have scored a lot more, he said. We did try to keep it down. I was really fearful that we were going to score 100. Derek City, superintendent of the Aledo Independent School District, said that the district takes the complaint just as seriously as a complaint about a group of students bullying a classmate. Now, that's the first story that I saw last night. And whenever I read a story at night, I check first thing in the morning because a lot of times there's follow-up. And there is a little bit more of a story. It goes on to tell what happened. And it says, I have to address it, Aledo head coach Tim Buchanan told the paper. It's not something you can laugh off or anything like that. What they said was that I should have told my players to ease up and not to play so hard. The Aledo principal has to investigate the complaint and prepare a written report. Buchanan said he supports the school administration. Aledo is the top-ranked Class 4A program in the state and is 7-0, including 4-0 in District 7-4A. None of that makes any difference to us. It sounds like they're a great team. Aledo has scored 84 points, 77 points, 84 points, and 91 points. The coaching of a losing team, the team that they played, John Naylor, told the paper he had no problem with the way Aledo handled the lopsided game. Buchanan told the paper he pulled his starters after 21 snaps and a running clock was used starting in the third quarter, and Aledo wasn't throwing the ball either, putting it in the air just 10 times in the game. So what I know about football means that that they did. they put in their not-so-heavy hitters. They took out their stars. It seems to me like they did a really good job on good sportsmanship. I'm going to bring in Shelley so that we can talk about this, but I think the point is here for me is I think this is too bad, first of all, that this has to come to a point like this and even do anything to this teacher who's trying to do the best job that he can. But what really bugs me is, how is this bullying? Who does he think got bullied? That's the part I don't quite get. Let's bring in Shelley and see what she has to say. Hi, Shel. Good morning.
Good morning, Rainey.
Interesting, huh, that somebody would deem this some kind of bullying. I don't know whether he's saying that the coach bullied his team because he kept, you know, like browbeating them or whipping them to make them play harder so that the score would go up, or whether he felt that he was allowing his team to bully the other players because they were so far ahead in the game. Can you understand how he came up with this this conclusion?
No, no. But what was it? Before I make my comments, I got the impression that it was a lot of people that felt he was bullying. It was it individual who made this accusation, or was it like a collective?
No, it was one parent from the other team. One parent.
Oh, one parent from the other from the team they beat?
Yes.
Oh. Well, now it makes a little bit more sense to me. Well, yeah. Well, I see that all the time in sports, and yes, it's not bullying. It's poor sportsmanship on their part.
Mm-hmm.
Even the coach from the other team didn't feel that there was any bullying involved. But when people don't get what they want, all right, their kids' team lost, you know, without even making one field goal. Instead of saying, okay, well, my kid's team really has to hone their skills more and they're playing against the number one team, it happens, and we're going to have to teach them how to improve their skills, they have to put it on the other side. They can't look at what the reality is. And I see this a lot in the parents have much poorer sportsmanship in many cases than the kids do. My nieces and nephews were in baseball. My nephew was in baseball, and my nieces were in soccer and things like that. And the kids were usually pretty much okay. You know, we're talking little kids now, and they were usually pretty okay. The parents, in many cases, acted horribly. They would get, you'd put one of the really talented girls in because the scores were down, and the parents of the girl that really couldn't handle the ball, and every other parent could tell that their kid couldn't handle the ball, would just get hysterical. My child's a star. Why aren't they out there? And you'd be sitting there going, oh, my God, do they actually ever really watch their child play? You know? So a lot of times the parents are very unrealistic. They don't see the true talent of their child. And the coaches of these type of teams go through a lot of stress because the parents don't mind their own business and let them coach. They're constantly be appalled by some of the conduct of the parents. So I've seen this kind of stuff before. But the other thing that you commented on, which I absolutely agree about, and this is something Izzy talks about, is classifying something like that as bullying anyway. Unless his players, which was never commented on, unless his players were like ready to drop and he was injuring in them some way, pushing them past exhaustion or something like that, and there were injuries on the field, if he was just pushing them because that's what you do in sports, you play to your best, that's not bullying. And
on the contrary, Shell, he not only didn't do that, he brought in his second and third line of players. So they scored big in the first half of the game with his lead players. And when he realized that, I mean, they were going to win hands down, he took out, I just lost Shelley, but he took out the first line and played the second and third lines to give the team a better chance and to open up the opportunity for the kids who often play very little on the field. So he did just the opposite. He did an awesome job in regard to pulling the team together and giving all the team players an opportunity to play the game. Did you hear any of that, honey, while you were off?
I just the last couple of words about that he gave other team players a chance to play.
That's what he did. He started out with his first line, his best players. I hate to say best and not best, but his first line, which means that they're the kids that have been playing football the longest, and they're the ones that he puts out in the beginning of every game. And then you usually have second and third strings that go out as the game, goes on, so that first of all, so that every player who practices five nights a week and does all the things that they're supposed to do and runs the field and does everything, they get the opportunity to play. Maybe they're not quite as gifted as the first line, but they've certainly put in all the hard work to be out there, which is an awesome opportunity in a big game. He did that. He got down to his third string and was playing them, and they were still scoring hand over fist. So he did everything that any parent that understands football or sports would expect them to do. When I read through these comments, like I've mentioned before, I don't see any. Sportsmanship. Boys grow up to be men. Parents protect children. Organizations teach fairness. Couldn't this all be fair if the game played on but the scoring stopped at 60-0? Seems that the league needs to add this rule to the bylaws. Solutions, people. We might have a more peaceful world. That's an interesting outlook. But most of them are all about, come on, people. Don't you get it? This was a joke from some wise ass, a pretty good one too, considering the story made it this far. But all the conservatives fell for it as usual and have to start ragging on the deterioration of United States society, etc., and blaming liberals. Of course, the initial report had to be investigated. They all do. It probably wasn't even a parent, but some high school kid who is laughing his hiney off right now. So everybody looks at it from a different point of view. But the biggest thing is, you know, it's called sportsmanship. And he did everything that he's supposed to do. And he played a good game. But even he says they felt sad after the game, because it wasn't a game, it was a massacre, and you know, they didn't feel real good about it, as you don't. If you're playing any kind of a game with somebody who's not at least sort of your equal, it's not much of a game, right? You want to have some competition. That's always been a favorite line of my husband's. We used to play pool together when we were real young, and I'd win often, and he'd laugh, and he'd say, that's because I had no competition, so I quit playing hard. But, you know, that's true. You know, it's true. Yeah. You don't get the same energy up. You don't get the same, I don't know, your fight runs out of you when you see it's not going to be much of a fight. And these kids have been trained very well. And if the third string could go out there and keep scoring, he's doing the job that the parents want him to do. But again, I still question how the word bully came into this. Can you think of any way, shape, or form that this is bullying?
No, of course not. But like I said, it doesn't surprise me. Because, and it's not all parents. I mean, I don't want to make a blanket comment, but a lot of parents, more than is acceptable to me, and it's a very disappointing fact, a lot of parents who get involved in their kids' sports lives are very unsportsmanlike, and it's extremely disappointing to me because I see it at such a high prevalence. You see it in other types of competitions as well, where the children in certain competitions are pretty much well-behaved and respectful of each other, and the parents on the sidelines just behave awfully. So this, as far as I'm concerned, is just somebody looking for a scapegoat. They're not looking at the reality of the talents of their team or their kids themselves, and it has to be that somebody did something wrong to them. You know, we've seen this happen in so many other arenas where the pendulum swings the other way. Going back to another comparison I made with, like, women who were battered, there was a time 50 years ago and more where if a woman was being battered in any way, you know, beaten by her husband or whatever, she couldn't even get the cops to pay attention. Nobody took the complaint seriously. Women were being killed, and it still wasn't being taken seriously. now you can look at a woman the wrong way and she screams at abuse or battery or something like that, and the police pounce on guys, and sometimes they're arresting guys that are innocent. The woman's just got a bad temper and wanted to get her boyfriend in trouble, so she says he hit her or something like that. You know, because now there's so much attention on that, there's so much intolerance towards it, that women are now using it, abusing that reaction from the police. And the same thing's happening with bullying. You know, people, there was a time when people looked at bullying as, like you said, like a passage, things that people go through, and you experience that, and it toughens you up, and it makes you into a better adult because you survived being bullied in school. But this, people don't have that attitude anymore. People are realizing that bullying is traumatic. It can change a person's life forever. It can scar somebody. And that there's a big problem here. Kids are literally losing their lives to bullying. So now we have this, it's Bully Awareness Month, and you have some parent that doesn't get what bullying is all about, and now is looking at any aggressive behavior, and sports are aggressive. But now they're looking at any aggressive behavior and tagging it with bullying, you know. So it's kind of the same arena where they're grabbing at a catchphrase to try to get sympathy for their team, but it's completely inappropriate. It's it doesn't apply to this situation, and it's kind of poor sportsmanship on their part to even go there.
Well, and again, it's there's no, I mean, I can't see it from my point of view, unless somebody thinks I wasn't at the game. So let's be an advocate for the parent that said this. So let's think of what could possibly, other than the obvious thing that his kid's team lost, or her kid's team lost. Okay, so we add that into the mix, but then let's say that the kids played so hard that they all looked like, you know, maybe the heat there is like it's here in Florida right now. Maybe they were totally exhausted. My grandsons have played football this year, and the oldest one dropped out early on. Why? Because he didn't feel real gifted. He loves to play football, but he didn't feel real gifted out on the field. The 16-year-old loved it. Immediately, he got hurt. Immediately. He's been seeing a chiropractor 3 times a week, had to have an MRI from getting slammed by 6 kids at one time. And we'd get him so he felt better, and then he'd go back out on the field. He was the quarterback. He was the lead quarterback for this team. And every night, in any football game, he'd get slammed anywhere from a half a dozen times to a dozen times by 3, 4, and 5 kids at the same time. And the chiropractor told us that he sprained his upper back, then he sprained his lower back, all of these things by being wrenched, by being shoved in all these different directions. Football is an incredibly dangerous game. Last week, there was a young boy in a high school team that was that died from the repercussions of being hurt, being slammed in a football game. So
it is dangerous.
So if the parent is watching the game and maybe a little overreactive and looks at the kids and they all look like they're, you know, they're getting hurt too many times, they're dragging their butts, maybe something like that made this parent think that, you know, what's the matter with this coach? Doesn't he see these? They don't even need to work this hard anymore. Can you see how somebody's thought process would go to, you know, bad coach because these kids look exhausted and it's the score is 60-0. What the hell is he doing this for? Can you see somebody feeling that way?
Yeah, if he hadn't made some of the changes he talked about, then yeah, I could see that. And that's why when I was talking in the beginning, I said the only thing that might possibly come across with bullying is if he was pushing the kids past exhaustion or if there were a lot of injuries on the field, because we didn't hear about any of that. But I think if that was the case, we would have heard other stories from other onlookers, you know, especially once the first complaint came out. But, you know, one of the things I've also noticed with people that are of a victim mindset, the people that almost attract bullies to themselves, or kind of put themselves at, in that stance with people to have people not treat them very kindly, is that if you've got somebody that has that stance, that victim mindset, or they may have been at the hand of bullies themselves and been bullied, maybe that particular parent was in sports and is very intolerant of aggressive coaches. So sometimes when you hear people...
That's a good point of view.
Make these kind of accusations, they may be responding to a current situation because of something that specifically happened to them. So now they're actually oversensitive to it. It'd be interesting to find out if this particular parent who made the complaint ever had any issues with dealings with an over-aggressive coach on their own, and maybe they're just oversensitive to aggressive coaching, and they can't make that discernment between just strong coaching and excessive coaching, which would be abusive or bullying.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the comments that I think is an interesting point of view, this is an insult to the team you are competing against. In essence, you are saying you aren't good enough for us to give it our all, so we are going to take a knee for the rest of the game so we don't blow you out. Aside from that, there are a lot of things that happen in New York State that wouldn't happen in Texas. Bad comparison. You can have New York and we will keep Texas. So that's obviously somebody who's addressing somebody who made a comment from New York City, which is irrelevant. But it is saying that. I mean, for me, sportsmanship for me means that you play fair, you play hard, you play the way you've been taught. Football is, matter of fact, before I even read this story yesterday, the 16-year-old that got his back hurt so many times doesn't want to play anymore. He enjoyed it, but he doesn't want to make it his life's career. So I said, then please don't play. And he said, you don't want me to play? I said, I didn't say that. I want you to do what you want to do. I will support you in any way that, you know, you need me to. I said, especially in your cheerleading section. You're very good out there on the field. You're fast, you're agile, you're strong. You play a good game of football. But I also don't want you to get hurt. And I don't want you at age 16 to get an injury that hinders your other performances for the rest of your life. I have a husband and my youngest son. Both have football injuries. Big Spike is 70 years old. He still has bad knees from playing football. And he was an All-American in high school. So it can be, and I've had doctors say to me, why would you let your kid play football? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, you don't believe in playing football? He says, you know how many kids come in here in a year's time with football injuries? So I guess the point I'm trying to make is something that is, you know, you might have another, I can't think of any of their names because I don't keep up with it, but you might have another football superstar who can at the age of 30 retire with millions of dollars. Who wants to stop that? Nobody. And if they really enjoy it, I think it's an awesome endeavor. It's a wonderful life choice. If they're really good at what they're doing and they're out there and they're, you know, they're fast as lightning and people don't get to slam them every time, then I think it's great. And I believe in sports. I believe in playing games with each other, and I believe in all the things that we do for entertainment, not just for the audience, but for ourselves. But everything, like we said the other day, everything has to be done in moderation, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, they take a 15-year-old for the first time playing in high school football, and they have to practice 5 to 6 nights a week after they go to school all day. One night when practice first started, I didn't pick up either one of the boys until after 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
They go to school at 6:30 in the morning. Now, that's one hell of a long day. That sounds like the kind of days you and I used to work at the Institute.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So it's,
I was like... Were they practicing that late on their own, or was it, or was the school coach still there?
Well, the night that it lasted so long was the night of their first two games, and they played... The younger kids played at 5:30, which lasted until 7:30, and then the next the JV team played at 7:30. They came right out on the field right afterwards. But they were also at an away school, so they had to drive a little ways back. I sat at the high school.
Wow.
I got there at 11 o'clock and sat there until, like, I don't know, after 11:30. For Joshua to come out for me to take him home. And then, of course, comes home, has something to eat. They gave him 2 pieces of pizza at 5 o'clock at night before the game. And this child is an eating machine, by the way. And he comes home and takes a little bit of leftover dinner. He's exhausted, takes a shower, and falls into bed. And the next day he's at it again, and they practiced again the next night until almost 7 o'clock. When he goes to school school starts at something like, 7:30, but he leaves here at 6:30. So that's a long, long day. So there has to be some rewards when they work that hard. And I understand why it's not much of a game if you're winning 90-something to zero. I get it. And I'm surprised. It shows me what kind of training is involved with this particular coach, because the kids did keep playing hard and giving it their best. That's what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
They're not supposed
exactly.
to, you know, you're not playing with your 3-year-old brother and you're supposed to keep cutting him breaks and cheating so he wins. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be a real game, and you're supposed to show your skills, and it sounds to me like that's what happened. It's just a shame that they had to use the terminology bully, because I don't think it fits this case at all. But on another note, one of the biggest reasons that I wanted to talk about this is because high school sports are a big deal. They're really a big deal, and I do have some concerns about high school sports, like the things that I just talked about. And it's disappointing to a kid if they're every night, Monday through Friday, go to school all day, and they also have to maintain a good GPA, which I always think is incentive. If they love football, then it gives them incentive to keep up their studies, so I think it's a good thing. But on the same token, you're wearing them out. I can't see their I can't see a kid who's got to go to school all day, gets out of school at 2:58, practices from or 2:48, practices, goes right to the gym, gets into their shoulder pads and everything, goes out on the field when it's been in the 90s almost every day for the past month and a half, 2 months, 3 months.
Yep. All right.
And does all that, and then when they have game night, they don't come home. They stay in school, they lift weights, they run, coach gives them a pep talk and everything. Then they get dressed out, and they're out on the field by 5:30, except for those enormous 2 pieces of pizza that they give them after they've had 4 chicken sticks at 11:30, 12 o'clock. So I have lots.
All right.
You know, for me, it's like, you know, I like it. I care about the fact that the kids get exercise. I listened to a report that was given on the news late last night and early this morning in regard to sitting at a desk, and that the more you sit, I don't remember what the statistics were. I didn't quite believe them, but it did make sense to me, that the longer you sit, the shorter your lifespan. And I believe that. I really believe that. And somebody who's locked into a desk that sits at a desk all day long from, like, say, 8 o'clock in the morning, takes a half-hour lunch break, comes back, and, of course, the times you get up to go to the potty and stuff like that. But if you're sitting at a desk all day long, they gave some kind of thing like for all those days that you do that, you take like 4 days off your life or something like that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And when you're young and your energy is at a high, the exercise is incredible for you and keeps you in a good place. So I believe in all that. But I also believe that it goes too far. It just goes a little bit too far, and it's hard for me to believe that it's healthy for a kid, even a kid in their prime, to go to school that early in the morning and do the things that they do all day and practice until 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, and then only one night a week do they play ball. And the one night that they play ball, at least at our high school here in West Palm, there's two games. So it's a long night. It's a long night for the coaches. It's a long night for the cheerleaders. It's a long night for the players. So there is, you know, there are some things that I think could be worked out a little bit better than this, but I certainly don't believe that bullying is what this should have been called. And I also don't believe that that it's good for them to get slammed and banged as many times as they do. But, again, that's a kid's choice.
I've seen coaches that I would consider to be bullies. They're very, you know, there's one thing to be tough on the team, to toughen them up so that they're not intimidated by their opponents. It's another thing to break the team down and humiliate them or to treat someone unfairly. I remember when I was in high school, I was in, I played a little bit of basketball, and I also was on field hockey and softball. And the field hockey I was actually pretty good at. I played one of the outer positions. And I remember when we were playing this one high school, we had two coaches, Bobby Bromberg. She was a younger sports coach. Everybody loved her. She was very, very good, very talented. She really knew how to motivate the girls, and she was very fair to us. And then the other coach, Mrs. Jacobs, was an older woman. And she was like the coaches you see on these movies where they make fun of coaches. She was a stocky mm-hmm. woman, terrible attitude, very rude to the girls. She was not warm and friendly at all. She was more like a female drill sergeant, like that's what she really wanted to be in life and got stuck, you know, teaching girls. She was a very mean-spirited person. Well, she was the coach of the field hockey team. And I remember one game we were playing against an opposing school that was very menacing. Evidently, I was very naive at the time. I didn't realize that there had been what we call rumbles, you know, fights between our school and their
mm-hmm.
school. So a lot of my teammates were afraid of scoring. Nobody was scoring against this other team. And it was 0-0. We were good enough to keep them from scoring against us, but none of our girls would take the ball and score against them. So one of the other team players and I spoke offline one time, and they said, this is ridiculous. I want to win today, right? So the other girl and I decided a play on our own, that we get the ball down there, and sure enough, it worked. We scored a goal. We ended up winning that day, by the way, 1-0. Okay, we were the only side that scored a goal. But the other team, now I realized why nobody on my team wanted to, because the very next play, one of their girls turned facing her own goal and shot the field hockey ball at me, directly at me from like 4 feet away, and it hit me right in the groin so hard that I passed out.
Oh, my Lord.
It was excruciating. I just blacked out, you know. They ended up having to take me to the hospital. I had a hairline fracture on my pelvis and everything, but it was a pretty severe injury. not a hairline fracture, but it knocked my back out. It caused major spasms. It wrapped around to my back. They thought I had a hairline fracture, but I didn't. But I had a bone bruise. I was all swollen and everything, and it knocked my back out. So when I came in, this is the I'm reading up to this because this shows that this teacher was a bully, okay? So I come in 2 days later. I was out of school for 2 days. I had a problem walking. I come in on the third day, and we were supposed to have a practice. So I went up and I told Mrs. Jacobs, you know, I said, look, I said, because of what happened to me, my back is injured. It's going to be a week before I can play again. She says, well, then you're off the team. And I was like, excuse me? She says, if you're not at tonight's practice and not at Thursday's game, you're off the team. I said, what are you talking about? She says, I don't keep anybody on my team that doesn't put out 100%. I said, I am putting out 100%. I said, I got injured scoring the only goal in the last game that we were at. And I was flabbergasted. So I came to the practice, but I only went out on the field for a couple of minutes because I really was going in pain. I came to the next game, but she kept me on the sidelines, but I had to be at the game. And because she couldn't put me in that game because she had a doctor's note saying that I couldn't go out on the field, she wouldn't give me my letter. When we all graduated at the end of that year, she would not give me my letter. She refused to give me, because you always get your award. So I got my letter for my other two sports. This teacher would not give me a letter because I missed one practice and one game.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? I agree with you. I think there's a lot of coaches out there that are only concerned for the bottom line. And that is how they hang on to their jobs because, you know, their wins are what keep them their jobs and get them their raises. And, you know, it's foolish to think anything else. But that doesn't mean that there isn't good people and bad people, too, you know. I did find this other, a newer story. They even have a video of the kids playing ball. The coach of a Texas high school football team has been accused of bullying in a formal complaint after his team beat another school 91-0. In the complaint, the dad of a player on the Western Hills high school football team claims Aledo High School football coach Tim Buchanan encouraged his players to bully their opponents by running up the score. God. Buchanan learned of the complaint against him Saturday, the day after his team beat Western Hills in a 4A matchup. I don't know what that means, but it wasn't good for anybody, Buchanan said. I've sat and gone over and over and over it on what we could have done differently. The score could have easily been 150-0. Buchanan tells MyFox News he pulled his starters from the game after the first quarter and eventually brought in his third-string players, but it was clear the game was going to be a blowout. The clock was also running continuously starting in the third quarter. In the report, which was released Tuesday, the unnamed dad lists both football teams as victims and the Aledo High School coaching staff as the offenders. The parent claims everyone in the football stadium was a witness to Buchanan and his staff's unsportsmanlike conduct. We all witnessed bullying firsthand. It is not a pretty sight. The complaint reads, according to the Fox News, I did not know what to say on the ride home to explain the behavior of the Aledo coaches for not easing up when the game was in hand. Buchanan, whose team is averaging 69.3 points a game and is on its way to a 7-0 record, said he is not sure what else he could have done besides telling his player to take a knee. I guess that means that they just stopped playing. I'm not going to tell a kid that comes out here and practices 6 to 7 hours a week trying to get ready for football games. Well, my kids practiced a lot longer than 6 to 7 hours a week. Hey, you can't score a touchdown if you get in. You're going to have to take a knee because that may be the only touchdown that kid gets to score in his high school career, which is a good point. After state law, Aledo's principal must investigate the complaint and prepare a report. The complaint was filed with the school district, and the law requires to provide bullying complaint forms on its websites. The University Interscholastic League, the governing body for high school sports in Texas, only has a mercy rule for six-man football that ends a game when one team gets ahead by 45 points by halftime or later. There is no mercy rule for 11-man football, though coaches can agree to end a game early. A spokesperson for the UIL, that's the University of Interscholastic League, Kate Hector said Buchanan said he wasn't aware of that option. There were about 1,500 fans still in the stands at the end of the game, most of them Aledos, he said. About 5,000 were at the Bearcat Stadium in Aledo at the beginning because it was a recognition night for a band member's parents. A cold front that brought rain added another reason to leave when the game started to get out of hand, Buchanan said. While blowouts are not uncommon in Texas high school football, Aledo has racked up several of them this season due in part to being placed in a new district that has not been as strong in football. The Bearcats' average victory margin in four district games is 77 points. The University of Interscholastic League based its realignment decisions on enrollment and geographic location, and when Aledo was placed in a different district before last season, its travel time to the furthest location was cut from 2 hours to about 35 miles. Buchanan's team ran just 32 plays but scored on about every third one during Friday's game. Aledo rushed for 391 yards. It scored 8 touchdowns on the ground, 2 each on passes and punt returns, and 1 on a fumble recovery. It certainly didn't seem like they were trying to run up the score in this case. Western Hills had 79 yards rushing and 67 yards passing. They go on to talk about all the rules and regulations from the different affiliates like NCAA and the National Federation of State High School Associations, et cetera. So this has really gotten very involved. Colgate said, many of the Federation's 48 member states and the District of Columbia have adopted a mercy rule in 11-man football. He noted that a survey published in February found that 16 states reported using a mercy rule with point margins, which are set by individual states ranging from 30 points to 50 points. Aledo principal Dan Peterson said his report on the bullying complaint should be completed this week. It will be given to the father who filed the complaint and the staff of Western Hills. Hector said anyone can submit a proposal for a rule change, which could be then considered by the UIL's legislative council. Buchanan said his school, winner of 4 state titles since 1998 and district, are very supportive of the football program. The same, he said, cannot be said of Western Hills. If it's not so much money as it's lack of emphasis, he said, if you're going to have a program, support it. So I guess that was his slam back to the school because he feels strongly about the support he gets. And obviously, they have a long-standing really, really great football team, and
right.
You see a lot in a lot of our states. You have different schools that really excel in it, and it has to do with the kids that go to that school and the coaches that they have. I also believe though that when somebody registers a complaint like this in this day and time, I do appreciate the fact that it was taken seriously, number one, and I do appreciate the fact that they're addressing it, even though only one person said it. Did you hear the numbers I said? How many kids were at a football game for high school? That never happens around here. Never, never, never.
No.
1,500, 5,000 people at a football game for a high school players?
No. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So you see how serious this game is taken there. And again, hasn't there always been, I could be wrong about this, but hasn't there always been like skunk games? You know what I mean by that? Like, if you're so far ahead, the other team gets skunked or something. Don't I remember something like that in high school?
Oh, yeah. We've had that happen a lot. We would see things like that. It's interesting, though, that there is a mercy rule out there when the point spread gets to be too far. But it's like, even in regards to that, isn't it still humiliating whether you lose 150-0 or the game is called midway because it's such a huge spread, you're never going to catch up? Why not leave your kids out there so they can continue honing their skill and just play the game out? You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure I'm understanding. Either that or maybe the mercy rule is because when you're that far down, the kids just don't want to be out there playing anymore. It's just, you know, they realize they're not going to win. If the only goal is winning, see, a really good coach would keep the losing team out there saying, look, obviously we're not going to win today, but let's try to make one goal. Let's try not to have it be zero, or stay out there and learn how to play against them. You know, I mean, if they up-talk the kids, they could actually take that experience and help them hone their skills. But if they're, I would be interesting as to what the technique is that the coach is using of the team that, like you said, got skunked, that ended up, you know, never scoring at all. Because there's a way of handling that proactively where the team players could actually still stay motivated and at least start honing their skills against not one of their own schoolmates, but here if they're honing it against somebody that's a true contender. You know, and it could be a good learning tool for them. But to stop the game midway or something like that, I don't know. To me, if I was on that team, that would bother me more than losing to a high score.
Mm-hmm. Well, and notice that there was no conversation or no comments from the opposing coaches, just from a parent. So I didn't read anything on any of the reports except for one comment that said, but I don't know if it named the coach as being on the other team, but there were other professionals that said the coach did everything that we would expect him to do. But
no, there was a comment from the White Hills coach who said he had no problem with the way Buchanan handled his coaching.
Right.
He did make a comment. I don't think they said his name, but they said the White Hills coach, blah, blah,
right.
And then video. Yeah, so he didn't even have a problem with it. And it was his team that lost, you know, without scoring at all, and he had no issue. So he recognized, he says, remember he made the comment, he says, I know Buchanan, and he said he's very fair. So he actually made a complimentary comment about his, his adversary, so to speak.
Yeah.
So evidently, they have professional respect for each other.
Well, that's it. Yeah. It says the coaching of the losing team, John Naylor, told the paper he had no problem with the way Aledo handled the lopsided game. Buchanan told the paper he pulled his starters after 21 snaps and a running clock was used starting the third quarter. And Aledo wasn't throwing the ball either, putting it in the air just 10 times in the game. So, you know, again, this sounds like an irate parent. Who knows? Maybe he had a bad day. But this really opened a major can of worms. And the overall consensus of the comments that I read are you're raising a bunch of mommy's boys, if you lead them to believe that if they can't win a game, then the coach is going to step in and, tell the players not to play so hard so the other team has a chance to score some points. I don't know who would think that's a good idea. Unless you've got 16-year-olds playing against 6-year-olds, I can't imagine anybody feeling good about a game like that, where you know that somebody quit playing because they're winning by such a margin. And if I were on the other team, if I practiced every day this week to play this team and knew that they were an awesome team, and that whole team while I'm out on the field gets down on one knee because they're telling me that I'm no competition for them. What would that do to me? I feel like a complete failure. I'd rather play out the game so that I gave it my best shot.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Give up, or to have the other team lord it over me like, Renee, you're not very good at this, so just quit while we're ahead. What kind of a message does that send? How does that make those other kids feel good about themselves or feel like anything positive? Can you think of a positive note that would come out of anything like that?
No. And like I said, if the coach on the losing team side takes that as a learning experience and doesn't allow the team to get so discouraged that they lose any self-pride, because that's, once you get somebody to lose their self-esteem and their self-pride in their potential abilities, all right, then you're never going to be able to turn that team around. But if you can keep them feeling good around themselves and say, look, we're playing a seasoned team. They've been out there a lot longer than you. They've been at this a lot longer. You can eventually get that good, but pay attention how they play against you. Obviously, we're not going to win today, but that doesn't mean that you don't go out there and do your best. I mean, there's a way of taking that and turning it into a motivating teaching tool. But I agree with you. Pulling them off the field or doing one of these mercy calls, I don't understand the benefit of that. I think it's counterproductive. But the coach has to handle it in a positive way, or these team members are just going to get, they're never going to hone their skills because they're always going to feel they're never going to get any better. So there has to be a way of positively influencing them to realize that where they are now is not where they're going to be in a month, that they can get better and better and better as they do it, but they've got to get themselves out there, suffer a couple of losses and you'll get better, and that's the whole mindset. And I've met coaches that have that ability. One of the other things, and I know we're almost out of time, but one of the other things that's very bad when people say something like, this guy says this is bullying and it's not, is that when you hear something out there and it's misused, it kind of discredits other complaints that really are bullying. There are coaches, like that coach that bullied me, okay? She wasn't concerned with scores. She was ticked off because she had this military attitude, right? And she singled me out. Now, I was bullied by this coach. It's just that back then I couldn't even get my own parents. I couldn't get anybody to do anything. My mom was very sick. My dad was like an absent father. So I had no adult figure that would help me battle this, But it was something that stuck with me my whole life because it was unfair. But when you say something is bullying that's not, it's like a woman calling rape that wasn't rape. Then every other woman after her is like, oh, people don't take it seriously after that. It actually diminishes real bullying, and there is real bullying amongst coaches. That they're very unreasonable. They push their kids to the point of exhaustion or injury, and it does not sound like that's what this coach was doing at all. If the parent is just crying a little sour grapes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I said. Who knows what's going on in that particular individual's head or in their life. We do have a tendency as human beings to kind of point our finger in another direction when we feel like we're not doing the job we're supposed to be doing too. So we've discussed that on many occasions. So you're right, time is almost up, and I want to wish everybody a happy hump day, and I hope you'll tune in tomorrow. And I want to say that if you something is going on at school or any place in your life, before you make formal complaints like this person did, I would suggest to you with all humility that you address the person that's involved before you take such a visible sign of disapproval, and then you're up for being slammed as well. if you have a problem with somebody else, go to them. Somebody should have gone to Coach Buchanan and said, you know, did you do everything you could do and given him an opportunity to explain himself before they did what they did? So go out there and have a great day, everybody. We love you, and I hope you'll be back tomorrow. God bless, and have a good one. Thanks, Shel.
Take care, Rainey. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye, babe.